Anybody remember where did we leave off yesterday?
The beginning of the eighth parak.
Beginning of the eighth parak. Okay.
You spoke about like Pirkei Avos Hamazon sitting versus standing, and the three different things.
That was at the beginning, well, again, the beginning of the eighth parak or the ninth parak?
Eighth.
We left off in the middle of the beginning of the eighth parak. Oh. Yeah, you have to recite Birkas HaMazon, the yeshiva. That was the last line. Birkas HaBikul HaYoshimah, the last line in Shlosh HaShachlu. That was, and then there's another din in the Mishnah that is Birkas HaMazon should be recited in the same location where you ate the bread. If I ate the bread in one building and I walked to a different building, so there's a machla, I forgot, by mistake, I forgot. So then it's machla, because Bisham and Bisil, they have to go back to bench in the original location. But if you went to Mezid, then they all agree you have to go back. You're supposed to l'chatchila for sure. If you went to Mezid for sure, you have to go back and bench in the same place where you ate. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. There are three opinions of that. Does that only apply to bread? Does it apply to all cakes and cookies, or Cheerios, Wheaties, anything that's bar minim? So perhaps it even applies to all the shibas aminim. So that was a big machloikas. Yeah. Let's say you eat at a kiddush. So someone says kiddush, and then everybody has cake. Then they have a gefilte fish or whatever. So the cake you have to say alamichya. So that's a question. Do you have to sit down to say alamichya? Okay, so more correct is you should sit down. Yeah. What's considered the same place where you have to say, there's a din, you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda. You have to eat in the same location where you said Kiddush. You have to recite Birkas HaMazon in the same location. Or Shini makom tzarech levarach. Let's say I started eating, let's say, ice cream in one room, and then my wife says she has to do something in that room. She has to vacuum the rug or something. So I go to eat the ice cream in a different room. Originally, I planned to eat the ice cream in this room. Then I switch to another room. You need a new bracha. It's considered a new achila. If you go to a new room, it's a new achila. Where do you have a mocha for that in Chumash? That if you make a shini mocha, it's considered a new achila. So we suggest that perhaps there's a din by Korban Pesach. HaPesach, there's a machlekes hatanoim, and we paskan HaPesach nechal b'shnei mekomos. HaPesach nechal b'shnei batim. Let's say we have 10, 15 people are shutfim in the Korban Pesach, and 7 people want to eat in one apartment in Yerushalayim. They all have to eat on the ground level. The Gemara says, Pesach can't eat on the rooftop, you can't eat on the higher level. Gagam aliyas lenis kachal, you have to eat everybody on the ground level. So we decide. 7 or 8 want to eat in one apartment, and the others want to eat in a different apartment. So that's permissible. We'll cut up the Korban Pesach. They'll take their half and eat there. We'll take our half and eat in this place. But however, ein ha'ochel, ochel b'shnei mekomos. One person, once you ate a kazayis in one location, you can't continue to eat Korban Pesach, the same Korban Pesach that you are memuna on. You want to continue to eat in a different building or in a different room in the same house. Different room in the same house, that's not discussed explicitly in the Gemara. So the din sounds like it is, you can't have 2 achilas from the Korban Pesach. If you have 2 kezesim, that's all called 1 achila, even if it's not turkey de achilas pras. But if you're going to eat b'shnei mekomos, that's called 2 achilas, and you're only allowed to have 1 achila. So pattern after that din called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa. Pattern after that din deraisa. That was one of the recurrent themes in Rav Soloveitchik Shiur. Whenever we learned the Gemara that had a din derabbanan, he would always try to figure out what is the kein deraisa. Where is a din deraisa that this is based on? And you come up a lot of times with very interesting ideas. The Gemara in the second parak in Bava Basra has a discussion regarding a din d'oraisa, and the Gemara proves what the din d'oraisa used to be from a din d'rabbanan. How can they prove from a din d'rabbanan? There must be some source in Chumash that there's a difference between X and Y, otherwise the Chachamim wouldn't have instituted such a kooky din d'rabbanan. So you have a lot of times like that. If you think about it, if you think hard about it, you can discover what dinim d'oraisa used to be before the Chachamim made all these dinim d'rabbanan. So that's a shaila. Let's say you have to recite Birchas Hamazon in the same location where you ate. And if you make Shina Mokim, Tzorach Levarach, and you have to have Kiddush B'Mokim Suda. So what's the definition of the same Mokim? When is it two different Mokims? If it's one big room, so we assume Mipina Lepina Bos HaChadr is called Mokim Echad. That's not considered two Mokims. So let's say by wedding, the people ate bread, they ate over here, then they announced they're ready to say the benching and the Shev Bracha, everybody should please move to the table where the Chas and Kala are. So everybody moves, so it's a gigantic room. Everybody goes, Mepina Lepina, Ba'osel Cheder. So most of the Paschim hold that, that's called Ba'osel Mok. The Mishnah Brura in the Shar HaTzion quotes an opinion that it's no good, that you have to bench where you ate. Even though Mepina Lepina, Ba'osel Cheder is considered Mokam Echad for other purposes, for Shina Mokam, you don't require another bracha. But Birchas HaMazon coming, I know Rab Soloveitchik used to be machma like that. He said they're not allowed to go to walk over to the table where the Chas and Kala are. Everybody has to sit and bench where they ate. That's the Mishnah Berurah quotes such an opinion, but he only quotes it in the Shaar HaTzion. He doesn't paskin like that. So we usually assume that there are three rules. If it's Mipina Lepina Ba'osa Cheder, that's called Makam Echad. If it's Micheder Lecheder Ba'osa Bayis, it depends if you had intention in the first place. If when I started to eat the ice cream, I had a mind to walk around the house and continue to eat in other rooms, so then it's not called Shina Mokam. If I intended to eat the ice cream here, then my wife kicks me out because she's vacuuming the rug or something, then Michedo Lecheda Bosa Bayis is Shina Mokam, you have to say another bracha. And Bayis Lebayis, if it's from one house to the other, let's say in an apartment building, from one apartment to the other, that's not Micheda Lecheda Bosa Bayis, that's like Mibayis Lebayis, then it doesn't even help if you had that in mind, Melechat Chilim. Unless you hold chedrochim, that's what the Gemara said. That's a person, he's eating while he's walking. He's eating ice cream while he's walking. So he's walking a long distance and he's still eating. So hold chedrochim, they never introduced this chumra, that Ashina Machim Sorach Levar. Otherwise, every 10 steps, you're going to have to say another bracha. So if it's hold chedrochim, from the very outset, he plans to be eating as he's walking. So then there's no din of Shina Machim. Yeah, what else do you have here? There was a machlekes beisham ebisul. Which bracha these? There were two versions. The machlekes of Yudah and Rab Meir, who were in the later generation. What was the machlekes beisham ebisul? So there's one machlekes. I think we did this yesterday. Where they say bari miyori hoesh or bari maor hoesh. We say bari miyori hoesh because it has different colors. And then there was one version that there was a machlekes. What order you say? Do you say first bari minim psamim and then you say bari miyareish? If first say bari miyareish, then you say bari minim psamim. What else? The Gemara says if you don't have the psamim available, you don't have to be mechazer achrov. If you have it available, say so use it. You're not mechuyev to go find it. You only say bar mer ha'esh if the light is lahoir, if the light is inside the oven, that's on nun gimel amanav. The light is inside the oven, there's a fire in the oven in order to bake something, so it gives a little light also, but it's not where it is, it's not lahoir, then you don't say bar mer ha'esh on that. Bar midim psalim also, if the psalim is laharis hazuama, some people put the perfume in the bathroom to offset the bad smell. Or you have on a dead body is going to decompose, so you have the yeast to put psalmim, so people shouldn't smell the decomposition, the bad odor from the decomposition of the dead body. So since that's not lahariach, that's lahariach azuamo, So that you don't say a bracha on that. You don't say bar mitzvah samim on that. Okay, what else do we have in this perek? You had stam yadayim shniyasheim. Whoa. Stam yadayim shniyasheim is a din derabanan. It's a chumra on top of a chumra. How can yadayim be shniyas? There are four things on the Mekabel Tum, four categories. Oda Mekelem Ochel Mamashkin. The Gemara says on the first half in Bava Kama, Oda Mekelem Oran Mekabel Tum from an Av Hatuma or above. A Mesa Zavi Avois Hatuma. So an Odom can only be Mekabel Tum from Avi Avois or from an Av. Can't be Mekabel Tum from a Rishon. How can Yadayim, how can an Odom be a Sheni? If he was Mekabel Tum from an Av, he should be a Rishon. And it can't be Mekabel Tumma from a Sheni. So it can't be Mekabel Tumma from a Rishon. A Rishon is a Tolda. So how can Yadayim? On the level of the Raisa, it doesn't exist. Also, on the level of the Raisa, it doesn't exist that one organ of the body is Tami, the rest of the body is Tohar. Either the whole body is Tami, the whole body is Tohar. When you're Toivol in the Mikvah, also, you have to have Maim Shekol Gufa, Ela Behem Basachas. You have to be Toivol, the whole body at once. You can't be Toivol one limb at a time. In the Sefer Yosha by the Rabbeinu Tam, the first half has the Chidushim of the Rabbeinu Tam, Al Seder HaMesichtes. Then the second half has letters that he sent on different occasions, Chubis of the Rabbeinu Tam. So he sent a letter to one of his Talmidim that someone told the Rabbeinu Tam that his Talmud gave a shiur in Parshas HaShavua, and he made a suggestion that if a person is toivel in a mikveh, it says brocha. It says called b'sara b'mayim. So Gemara says brocha. It's called b'sara b'mayim. She'll call gufo ela behem b'vasachas. You have to be toivel. The whole body has to be submerged under the surface of the water. B'vasachas. You can't be toivel one leg and then one arm and then your head. You can't be toivel part at a time. The whole body has to be b'vasachas. So that expression brocha is called b'sara. In the Chumash, it only says it by a mikveh. What if you're toivel in a mayon? So it says, Baruch, it says, Besor. It doesn't say, Kol Besor. So this Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam had the suggestion, based on the Mashmuas HaPsukim, that if you're Tovel in a Mayan, you can be Tovel an organ at a time. Rabbeinu Tam got all upset, and he sent them a very nasty letter. Are you off your raka? It's ridiculous. It's against Allah. He's not allowed to say that. So he sent them back a letter. He said himself that it's wrong. When he gave the shiur, he told the people that it's not halacha l'maisa, but he said from the mashmos apsukim, it would appear like that. So Rabbeinu Tam said, you're not allowed to say that either. It's wrong is wrong. You're not even allowed to mention such a havamina. Absolutely wrong. Yeah. Anyway, you have the same thing. A kli is either tomei or tohar. A kli cheris is only the kabel tumah from the inside. It's not mekabel tumah. If you touch it from the outside, it's not mekabel tumah. At all. Not mekabel tumah at all. And then by other kelim, sometimes they made it in that the outside of the kli is tumah and the inside of the kli is tor. On the level of the eyes, it doesn't exist. Can't be such a thing. The outside, that you treat the kli as if it's two kelim. One kli is tumah, one kli is tor. It's one kli. Either it's tumah or tor. But they made a lot of dinim derabon. Then there was a machlokes bishana and beisilah. The Gemara has truma by chulin. The level of truma by ochel mamashkim only goes till sheni. It doesn't go lower than sheni. By truma it goes till shlishi. By kochim it goes till revi bakodesh. If it comes in katek, if a piece of bistar kodesh touches something that's a shlishi, it'll become a revi. And then by Paraduma, but Efer Para, Iliad has that Tesefta says, the Rasha Mishnah quotes a Tesefta by Paraduma, it goes to the level of Chamish. That's all Midrabbanan. The Shlishi with the Revi, with the Chamishi, this is all Midrabbanan. On the level of the Rasha, it doesn't exist. So the Gemara says that if you have a Sheni is Osha Shlishi Bechuma. So if a person is a kohen and he's gonna have a table that's a sheni, on the level of the Raisa, a table can't be a sheni. Odem mekelim zoch only mekabel tuma from an av hatuma or above. An av hatuma makes a rishon, doesn't go down to two madregas. when by tuma told the same as lavka yetzibem. Told the same means when tuma is transmitted from one person, from one thing to the other, the tuma always goes down one madrega. That's the first daf in Bava Kamma also. By tuma told the same lavka yetzibem. When it's transmitted, it goes down a madrega. Toisa es tekasha, there's a din cherev harev kacholo. So you see, it doesn't go down a madrega. Toisa's answer is no. Cherev harev kacholo cannot make another cherev harev kacholo. So it went down a little bit. Tumah always has to, when it's being transmitted, always has to go down a little bit. So on the level of the raisa, it doesn't exist that a shulchan is going to be a sheni. On the chumris, mederabbanan, you can have that a table is a sheni. So that's a machlik, is bishan and bisil. Are you permitted to use a table that's a sheni, because if the fellow is a kohen is eating truma, going to put a loaf of bread of truma on the table, it'll become a shlish and it'll passel it. He won't be allowed to eat the truma. So the shamay were of the opinion that they make gzeira. You're never allowed to use a table that's a sheni mishum bechle truma, because if non kohanim don't eat truma, so if non kohanim are going to be permitted to use a table that's a sheni, kohanim will make a mistake sometimes and they put the truma directly on the table and it'll become puzzle. The Bisilu said, don't worry, Kohanim's reason heim. The Kohanim are eating truma, they're going to be careful and they'll know not to put it on the table. That's what we pointed out. We mentioned this yesterday. There's a Rashi in Psochim. Rashi says, Kohanim's reason heim only applies to Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, who are makriv, the Tmidim and Mesafim every day of the year. There's reason heim because the Bez Nagodol is on their tail, to make sure that they're marked with the carbonus properly, but not a koyin. A koyin is eating truma. He doesn't have the Bez Nagodol supervising when he eats truma. He's eating most of the fairish according to Basilo. Since Kohanim Zizim Haim, so you don't have to worry about that. So that's one machlokes, Bisham and Basilo. That's not even mentioned in the Mishnah. Well, gives, that's the background of some of the machlokes mentioned in the Mishnah. Towards the end of the Baisheni period, they made so many gzeiras, the Rabbanon, gzeiras on top of gzeiras. They made a lot of gzeiras. Then the Gemara said, there's a din, you're not allowed to, there's a din of baltashchis. You're not allowed to take good food and throw it out in the garbage. There's a din of baltashchis. So the Gemara says, if you cut challah, let's say, so you have crumbs on the plate, crumbs on the table, you have to eat up every single crumb. There are always some crumbs that we throw out in the garbage. The Gemara says, the crumbs that are less than a kazayis, there's no din about tashchis. That's what the Gemara says. The crumbs that are less than a kazayis. So do you have a, let's say you have a, not a waiter, you can't call him a waiter. In your private home, do you have a shamus, someone working for you? Is he a knowledgeable person? He's going to know that the crumbs that are bigger than kazayis, he should put away. Crumbs that are less than kazayis, he can throw out in the garbage. So that's a machlokes bisham and bisil. Are you permitted to use a shamus who's an amoritz? So that's a machlokes bisham and bisil. So bishamay hold, I forgot already which way, bishamay hold, you're not allowed to use a shamus who's an amoritz. Has to be a talmid chacham. So then you don't have to be concerned that you're going to wash my machrayim. At the end of the meal, the shamus will have already removed all the pirurim that are bigger than a kazayis. Whatever will be left on the tablecloth, let's say you have a disposable tablecloth, whatever will be left on the tablecloth, or no tablecloth, whatever, are going to be less than a kazayis. So you can pour my machrayim there, even though by pouring my machrayim, you're going to make everything a sloppy mess, you're going to throw it in the garbage. The shamus is a knowledgeable person, is going to be a tamarach, and won't be an amaretz, so he'll know that there's a din of baltashchis on pirurim that are kazayis, and he'll only let you pour the my machrayim on the pirurim that are less than a kazayis. And we still hold. Still holds. Oh, Basilho, also the Shamish Fakir, I said it back. Basilho, also the Shamish Bishamish Amoritz. The Shamish has to be a Tamachochim. So therefore, he will have removed all the Pirum Kazais before you're going to wash my Machrainim. And then there's no problem about Tashchis because all the Pirum are less than the Kazais. I think it was there's some source in the Gemara, but he forgot that in Shulchan Aruch they quoted that it's a zgula for Ashiris. It's a zgula for Ashiris if you don't throw out the pirurim, even though they're less than a kazayis. Must be a Gemara somewhere, I forgot already. But it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, so that's why you'll see some people on Shabbos will say Hamoitzi the cut to chalas. Then it's got to be crumbs all over the place. So they'll take a spoon and scoop up. You can't scoop up all the crumbs. It's just impossible. Scoop up a lot of the crumbs. Take another piece of challah. No, it's a skula for Ashiris. If you're not going to throw out the crumbs, they'll scoop up all with a spoon. They'll scoop up all the crumbs and they'll eat it. It's a different story. But based on this Gemara, it says there's no baltashches on peruim that are less than a kezach. Then the Gemara had a machlekes b'sham b'silo. Also about my machrainim. So the Gemara has the idea over here. Take it from the Tilus Adayim bracha. Which bracha? So there are two Gemaras. Tais is the top Tais. One Gemara goes on my Rishonim, one Gemara goes on my machrainim. You shouldn't wash the Tilus Adayim if you plan to eat bread. You shouldn't wash too far in advance. Take it. It should be immediately before. So that's the question. If you go to the wedding hall and they have the place for washing is outside of the ballroom, so you're going to wash over there and then you're going to go from one room to the other, isn't that a violation of tekef? So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. So some say if the place where you're going to wash is within 22 amas of the place where you're going to eat, that's okay, that's tekef. Going to walk more than 22 amas, then it's a violation. Where'd they get the gematria of 22 amas? Is that Rosh Hashanah? Is that gematria or something? No, so that's based on tekef l'smicha shchita. The balabos brings a korban. So the yud alfa, the first 11 amas in the azara, the women were in Ezos Noshim. Ezos Noshim didn't have kedushas azara, had kedushas harabayis. Rashi writes in a few places in Shas, how come the Ezos Noshim never had Kedushas Azora? They wanted to make it easier for the women. The women a lot of times are pregnant and nursing and they find it difficult to stand. And they didn't say any Yeshiva B'Azora, Elan Malchay B'Ezdovi B'Avat. No one's allowed to sit in the Azora, even a Kohen Gadol. Not allowed to sit in the Azora. Only a Melech from the Malchay B'Ezdovi. So if they would have endowed the Ezos Noshim, they could have, if they wanted to, they could have endowed Ezos Noshim. But then the women would all have to stand the whole time. The men talk are supposed to stand. They're not allowed to sit in Azar. If they're too old and feeble, they shouldn't go into the Azar. They should be somewhere else where they're allowed to sit. So in the Azara, where it does have this Azara, the Israelim, the non-Kohanim, are only permitted to enter the first 11 Amos. Not an Issa deraisa, it's Milas. Milas means Chumris Midirabon, a lot of Milas. In Chagiga, you have in the Mishnah, a lot of Milas, all the Milas are Derabbanan. So the Gemara says, all the Milas are Derabbanan. So, if a Yisrael brings the carbon, he has to do smicha. And then, where did they do the shechita? So they did, there was a specific location. Because when you shecht an animal, you have to turn it upside down. It can't be standing on its four legs. You're not going to cut up, you're not going to take the knife and cut from the bottom up. You're going to turn the animal upside down. And you have to have a place where you can hold down the head instead of having four people hold down all the legs. So it's better to have, they had tabois, they had rings where they would hold down the legs of the animal and the head of the animal. So apparently the rings were something like 22 amas away from the last place where the Israelim could go. So that's called tekef for the smicha shchita. The balabos does smicha. Israel does smicha where he's allowed to go. He's not supposed to meet the rabbana. They don't let him go past the first 11 amas. And then they're not going to do the shechita until they walk 22 amas. They see, within 22 amas is okay. It's not a violation. That's the Taisa says that. Taisa came up with this, 22 amas. The Achrayim are not happy with the Taisa. The Achrayim said they think it's a different cloud. They think it depends whether it's one room or two rooms. The Azara was all one big room, so even if you walk more than 22 amas, it's also not a problem. But they think, just like the Pina Lepina Ba'osa Cheder is not called Shini Mokam, for Shini Mokam Tzorach Levorach, and it's not called the Mokam Ache, it's called Kiddush B'Mokam Suda, and most told, like the Mishnah Berurah said, most Achranim hold that it's called Birch Zamozim B'Mokam Achila, if it's Pina Lepina Ba'osa Cheder. So they say over here, they would disagree with Taisus. They would say, if you wash it until it's a dime in the hallway, even if it's less than 22 amas, to walk to your seat. That's called, that is a violation of tekef, then the tilas adayim brocha. And if it's in the same room, even if it's more than 22 amas, it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah, so what do you do if the place to wash is in the hallway? What are you going to do? The Achronim say, the Baal HaTosfos had a minute, we spoke about it the other day, that they said the bracha on a tefillah sedayim. When someone went to mikveh, the women would say the bracha al tefillah after they were tovel in the mikveh, and after they washed the tefillah sedayim. So how was that roivel asiyosam? So Tosfos says, because the Gemara says in the beginning of Saita, if a person washes the tefillah sedayim, doesn't dry his hands, and he's holding the bread with his hands, kilo oichal lechem tamei, you have to do niguf. So since you need niguf, so it's considered as if you didn't finish the mitzvah on the tefillah sedayim until you dry your hands. So that's what the Achronim recommend. If you wash at a wedding, if you wash in the hallway, then you go into the ballroom where you're going to eat, it's mecheder lecheder. So don't dry your hands fully. Have a paper towel or whatever, a paper towel. And keep on drying your hands, even if your hands are dry. Keep on drying some more. So a lot of times you'll see, you won't see. All these people died already. The Europeans always had that practice. They, when they would wash until it's done, they'd keep on drying their hands till they would sit down, then they would say, I'm oitzi. The Europeans are all disappearing. I saw Europeans do it. That's the Mishnah Berurah recommends like that. That's how the Europeans used to do it. They kept on drying their, even if the hands were dry, they would keep on drying their hands some more. When you keep on drying hands, it gets even drier than it was before. So that's how they resolved the issue of tekef l'netilas sadaim brocha. So there are two gemaras. One gemara, this gemara says when it gets to tekef l'netilas sadaim birchas hamazon, you shouldn't have too long a pause in between mayim achronim and the birchas hamazon. And the earlier gemara has tekef l'netilas sadaim brocha, you shouldn't have too long a pause in between the tilas sadaim and hamotzi, the brocha v'shayna. And here it goes in between the Tilas Adayim and the Bracha Achronim. And then by both of them, taketh. Let me see. Then the Gemara has, you should pick up the Kos B'Yamino, Magbia Tefach, that we spoke about, where that was the, where was that? Magbia Tefach? Didn't we have that?
Daf one?
No, oh, that was in Perek Shalosh Shachlo. Oh, here. It's on, yeah. Daf Nun Aleph on base, the top line. Magbia Menakarka Tefach. Yeah. You pick up the kli with the both hands, and then you put it in the right hand. You shouldn't have small misayel yamin. Yeah, that was the Gemara. Then the Gemara had v'noisen ein of bo. Why? That he shouldn't be misayach das. That's the third line on nun aleph on base. What do you mean v'noisen ein of bo? So the Raman Shulchan Aruch says he shouldn't have a becha that has a very narrow opening on top, because then you won't be able to see the wine. Unless it's a glass cup, you can see it's transparent, you can see through it. Because he understood Nasnein Abo, B'yayin, you have to be able to see the wine. And others disagree, no, Nasnein Abo, you should look at the coast, not that you should look at the wine. You're looking at the coast, and you know that the wine is in the coast, you filled it up. That's the question, what does the word Bo mean? Bo mean Nasnein B'yayin or Nasnein Abo? That's a discussion of Shulchan Aruch.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
The guy be drying hands when Rebbe eats in the calf on Friday night, as opposed to washing until he's done in the calf itself, in the cafeteria itself, Rebbe walks down the hallway into a different room to wash.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though that's in a different, you know.
So if you keep on drying your hands, what are you calling on?
Good, as opposed to alternative washing within the room itself.
What, why?
That's not, there's no issue. There's, it's not more preferable to wash in the room itself.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Got to think about that. Then the eighth parak begins with the many disputes between the Shabbos. We still have to do with them, but there are many more disputes. These are besuda. So one is when you recite Kiddush, do you say Baruch Yagofen first or second? So Basila says you start with Baruch Yagofen. Basila holds this is the case by Kiddush, by Havdalah, by a bris, you say Bracha. Shekiddush you did Mibetan, so you say Baruch Yagofen first, and by a wedding, you say Baruch Yagofen before Birchas Eris and before Birchas Nisuin. Tosis writes the one exception to the rule is Birchas Amozen. That's a Tosis on the top of Nun Beis Amid Aleph. So they raise the question, how come he say when you bench alakos? No, where is it? No. Wrong Tosis. That's about E Mashgichim Bebasko. Where was that Tosis? Anybody remember? Tosis somewhere over here. Raise the question, how come by benching Beis Hillel agree that you first recite the benching, then they say Baruch Yagofen? So Tosfos says, because if you're going to recite Baruch Yagofen first, like you normally do, Birchas Hamazon is a declaration of Siluk Hasuda. You're not eating anymore. So you're going to have to say another Baruch Yagofen. If you're going to say Baruch Yagofen before benching, benching is a declaration of Hesach Hadas. You have to say another Baruch Yagofen. So why say the first Baruch Yagofen if it's not going to help? So that's why you say the Baruch Yagofen after. So for that Tosis, whatever that Tosis is, I forgot already where it is. Where is it?
The top
Tosis
on Nun
Beis Amid Aleph. Mem Beis. Nun Beis. Yeah. Correct. Vim Taima. Halfway through. Rabbi Soloveitchik would ask the students always to read. So he'd say, read the Tosis Vim Taima. There is no Tosis Vim Taima. Read the Shach V'yeshleima. The Shach said 10 lines. 10 times he says V'yeshleima. Read the Shach V'yeshleima. That's how he used to do. It's very entertaining. So Tosis says Vim Taima. Ma'ishla de Bikidish al Davachim Bar Piagofim before Birchsama Yeshleima. Hey, now what are you going to do? Because Amozan al Pidin is a Hesach Hadas, so you have no choice. You have to say after. So that would have been good if that's the only place where you say the bracha after. So we raised an issue on Pesach night. There are two more brachas from the Arba Koses. So the second Kos Hashir Geolanu, we say the Bar Piagofen after Goal Yisrael, and the last Kos. The last course you say Bichas Hashir, the Gemara says. The Mishnah says that you say Bichas Hashir. What is Bichas Hashir? So the Gemara has a machlokes, I think Rabbi Shmuel, machlokes Hamaroim. What does the Mishnah mean? What is Bichas Hashir? One opinion is that you finish Halal, so you say Yehalalucha. That's Bichas Hashir. So he says, you always say Yehalalucha at the end of Halal. What's the Chiddush on Pesach night? No. Mishnah Megillah says that whenever you say Halal, so it depends on meaning amokim what they say halalucha. On Pesach night, there's no tomin hogim. The din requires everybody has to say halalucha. So that's one opinion. Birchas Hashir is halalucha. The other opinion is Birchas Hashir is nishmas kol chai through yishtabach. So the Gemara says they're both good ideas and we should do both. So that's a machlokes. What does that mean? You do both. So if you have some old haggadahs from centuries ago, different charitable organizations used to print Haggadahs years ago, send them out in the mail in order to make a few dollars. So they reprinted old Italian Haggadahs where they had two different brachas. At the end of the Hallel, you say, Yehalalucha, Melech Mughalal Batish Bachois. And then you say the Kili Yolam Chazdois. And then you say Nishmas Kolchain, you say Yishtabach. Two different brachas over the last Kois. Tosfos doesn't agree with that. Tosfos and Arabic songs, that's ridiculous. You don't say two brachas, but you combine the both together. So that's two minhagim, minhag Sfarad, minhag Ashkenaz. How exactly do you combine together the halalucha with the nishmas kol chai? So the Ashkenazim go in order, and the Sfaradim go backwards and forwards. Ashkenazim, they finish halal, and then they say halalucha, and they don't say the last line, malach mulo batish b'chais. Then they say the Kili Olam Chazda is that Perek and Tehillim. Then they say Nishmas Kol Chai. Then they say the bracha at the end is the bracha from Yishtabach. And the Svardim go backwards and forwards. The Svardim finish the Hallel. They finish the Hallel, and then they don't say Yahalalucha. Then they say the Kili Olam Chazda is. Then they say Nishmas Kol Chai till the end of Yishtabach, but they don't say the last line in Yishtabach. Then they go back and they say Halalucha that they should have said before. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that on Pesach night you shouldn't have, if there's one family seder, you shouldn't have half the people doing one minig, half the people doing the other minig. You should make up your mind in advance what the minig of the family is, whether they're Hasidim like the Dab and Nusach side. If they're Sfardim or they're Hasidim, so they say Nusach side. Ashkenaz, and they say Nusach Ashkenaz. And then in Valoshin, they had a totally different, they had their own way of combining the two. Not like either the Tshitas that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Valoshin, they did things differently. So anyway, so the problem is, the second Kois on Pesach night, Kosheni is Asher Gyalonu, and you end up Gual Yisrael. After you say the Brocha, then you say Bar Pergav. And the fourth Kois is Bichas Hashir. And Bichas Hashir also. Whatever you say Bichas Hashir. Then you say Bar Pergavon afterwards. It's a Pella. Why don't you say, we'll always say Bar Pergavon first. How come over here we say Bar Pergavon after the Brocha Alakos? So we gave a bit of a suggestion. The Gemara explains what's the machlokes between Beishan and Beisil, where they say Bar Pergavon first. So it's interesting. Beisham, I say, you say Kiddush first. Why? So they give an argument. You're not really interested in drinking wine. You want to say Kiddush. So since the only reason why you're drinking wine is because you want to be out to say Kiddush, so the bracha of Kiddush is what leads you to the bracha, causes you to say the bracha Bar Pergavon. So that's why the bracha that brings about the other bracha should come first. Ayom goren le'yayin she'yavu. Because it's saying Kiddush, that's why you want to drink wine. So that's why you should say that bracha first. Then he gives another argument, Pishama. Kvar Kiddush ayam v'adayin yayin lo'ybo. When it became Shabbos, when it became Leil Shabbos, you became obligated to recite Kiddush v'adayin yayin lo'ybo. But you know, you still don't have wine in front of your other table. So whenever you have two mitzvahs to fulfill, and you became a chayiv in one mitzvah first and the second mitzvah second, so you should fulfill the two mitzvahs in that order. First, do the mitzvah that you became obligated to do first, kvar kiddush hayom, and you became a chayiv to recite kiddush v'adayin yayin lo'ybo. You don't say bar pergav until you have the wine in front of you and you're holding it in your right hand. The holding, picking it up, holding your right hand, that's not miyaket, but it has to be in front of you. If you're going to say bar pergav, you don't have the wine in front of you, you're not yotze even b'dieved. You have to say again the Bar Pergavon. So that's what Beis Shammai say. When they had two mitzvahs, and one mitzvah became a chuyiv earlier than the other mitzvahs, you have to fulfill the mitzvahs in that order. So let's say a woman has twin boys, and they're going to have the both risen next week on the eighth day. So you have to be mild, the older baby. The older baby is 2 minutes older than the younger baby. So he became a chuyiv to be mild the older baby first. You have to do the older baby has to do the bris first. Or maybe we should say, no, the chiyuv to be mala baby is not chal the day the baby is born. Maybe it's only chal the morning of the eighth day. Because you can't do the bris in the middle of the middle of the 7 days. Can't do the bris at night either. Leil shmini. Mila bizmana has to be by yom. You can't do it by laila. Milush Leibizman is a machlekes hatanaim. We paskin even Milush Leibizman may not be done balayla. You have to always do bayom. But there was one Tana holds not so. But even that Tana agrees that Milush Leibizman, you don't begin till the morning of the eighth day. So when it comes to the morning of the eighth day, then became mechuyev to do the bris on both babies simultaneously. That's the shayla. When is the chiyev bris milachal? When the baby boy is born? But the bris is not kosher if you do it before the Yom HaShemini. Or do you say, no, the chiyuv to perform the bris is not chal till the eighth day. So that's a shayla nigemara in Yevomis. The din is that an orel is not allowed to eat truma. is Perik Aurel. It's the name of the Perik in the end of Ibama. So it says in Aurel, in Chumash it says an Aurel is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach called Aurel Ayachamboy. And the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, an Aurel is not permitted to eat Truma. Not allowed to eat Truma. Let's say you have Shemin Shal Truma, so you're allowed to use the Shemin Shal Truma. A Kohen is allowed to use it, a non Kohen not allowed to. A Kohen is allowed to use Shemin Shal Truma, the Shmira on his body. So let's say the husband is a Kohen. The wife is or is not Kohen. It doesn't make a difference. The husband is a Kohen, so he has a baby, and the baby is a Kohen. And you want to shmir the baby with Shemin Shal Truma. If the baby is Tohar, the woman who gave birth to a baby becomes a Yoled. A Yoled is an Avatuma. So if the baby, if the mother is going to touch a baby, baby's going to, after she gives birth to the baby, normally the mother do touch the baby after the baby is born. So the mother's Yoledes, so the baby's going to be tummy, so you can't smear him with oil. So the Gemara has this far-fetched case. The mother gave birth to a baby, she didn't touch. The doctor delivered the baby, the doctor is to her, and the baby is to her, and the mother is an avatuma, she's Yoledes. So when it, are you allowed to smear the baby boy with Shemesh Shel Truma? He's an oral, he didn't have a bismila. Maybe he's not an oral until the eighth day. Maybe only has an orla, that's called orla shalai bizmana. Orla shalai bizmana is in the akev, the baby, from having him shmeared, the shemesh al truma. So in the Gemara, in the Badli, it's a suffix. All the Rishonim quote, the Rishonim says, it's an ibayadi of shita, they say it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because he's not an orla until there's a chiyav mila. The chiyav mila is only on the eighth day. Then the Shagazaria has a tshuva, he writes an interesting chiddush. What about the night before the eighth day? You say, once it comes Leil Shmini, there's already a Chiyav Mila, but the bris will not be kosher unless you do it by Yom. Or you say, no, the Chiyav to do the bris only Chal in the morning. So the Yerushalmi says that the night Leil Shmini, the Chiyav Mila is Chal. So you're not allowed to shmir the baby till Leil Shmini, you're allowed to shmir the baby with Shemesh Shel Truma. But Leil Shmini becomes an oral, because the chiyav to do the bris is chal balayla. It can only be mekayim. The kiyam amitz is only by yom, but the chiyav is the night before. So the Shagasari has such a tshuva, and he came up with that chiddush. And he brings a raya. He brings a raya from a din, a gemara in Zvachim. So the later achrayim point out, it's a, the whole thing is a beferish a Yerushalmi. Shagasari must have seen Yerushalmi, and he forgot. He writes as if he discovered America on this. That Leil Shmini, the baby is an oral. But until the El Shmini, he's not an oral yet. So the Chiyav to be mal, that both, even though the babies were born a week ago, and one is older than the other, one is a little older than the other, one was born a few minutes before the other one. But the Chiyav to do the Mila is Chal, all the babies born in the same day, the Chiyav to do the Mila is Chal at the same split second, Leil Shmini, the beginning of Leil Shmini. So you don't have to say, you don't have to be mal the older baby first. You can do the bris on the younger baby first also. That's not a problem. But that is a cloud. That's what Beis Shammai say. If you have two mitzvahs to perform, you became obligated to observe one earlier than the other. The obligation to recite Bar Pei HaGafen was only chal when they brought the wine on the table. And the obligation to recite Kiddush was chal when it became Kiddush Hayom, when it became Shabbos. So the mitzvah you became obligated to observe first should be fulfilled first. What if Basilah disagree with Beis Shammai? We pass on like Basilah. Why? Shehayayin garm l'kedusha shetei omer. What does that mean? So I would have thought, poshep shat, that the Chachamim made a takana, there's a mitzvah in our Torah, they cite Kiddush. Reciting Kiddush is a din d'araisa, we had the Gemara and Daf Chof. The Gemara says, even women are mechuyav in Kiddush, even though it's a mitzvah, says Shazman Groma. Usually women are exempt. But usually there's a klal, Zman Groma Nashim Apata, but there are a whole bunch of yotzim in a klal. The Rambam writes in one place there are more exceptions to the rule than there are mitzvahs that fall under the rule. So one of the exceptions to the rule is Kiddush. The Gemara's lashon is, Nashim mechuyav is b'kiddush ayom dvar Torah. Means that Kiddush is deraisa. Kiddush is deraisa. And the Rambam, even we mentioned, I think, The Rambam understood Vatar means Pshuto Shal Mikra. I don't know how he knew that. Vatar, I would have said, means Deraisa. The Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam has in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs or not. So first the Rambam writes, the first klala is only mitzvahs Deraisa. You don't include mitzvahs Rabbana, not like the Bala Halachas Gedolos included Hallel, and their Chanukah and Mikra Megillah, those are the Rabbanans, so you shouldn't include the Rabbanans. Then the Rambam says you don't include dinim that are only Harasha. Then he has the third klal, you only include dinim that are based on Pshut Rosh HaMikra. Whatever is a drush of the Torah Shabbat Peh, you don't include. Why? Because the Rambam, the Shittos, the Rambam holds that the best in every generation has the right to come up with new dinim based on Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem that never existed before. This is in disagreement. That's the Rambam and the Hagdama to the Pirush HaMishnah. It's in the back of Brachas. Rambam is the disagreement with the Goyim. The Goyim say, you cannot come up with a new din, Yesh Miyayim, based on Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem. Every single din, Kol Ma'al Shetamid Vasek, Gosset L'Chadish, Ne'ma Lo Moshe M'Sinai. Every single din must have been told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And they had a tradition on every single din. Aye, if they had a tradition, how come there's so many machloikas and every page in Shasta is a machloikas? The answer is, they forgot. So the Rambam says, that's scandalous. They forgot everything. Every single din they forgot. Everything is a machloika. How can it be? So the Rambam says, that's ridiculous. The Midrashim that say like that, Kol Ma Shetamid Vasek, Gosset L'Chadish Ne'ma Lo Moshe M'Sinai, not to be taken literally that every single din was told. If every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and every machloikas is based on shikha, they forgot, so what do you need the Yud Gimel Midas for? So the Goyim say, no, the Yud Gimel Midas are to check whether your tradition is correct or not. Maybe you have a mistake in the transmission of the tradition. So if you can figure it out based on Yud Gimel Midas, that's an indication that your tradition is correct, and that didn't was said to Moshe Rabbeinu like that. The Rambam says it's not correct. What it means is that the text of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. Sometimes you learn out a din from an extra letter, from a missing letter, from an extra word, a missing word. But we can only learn out dinim if we believe, our tradition has it, that the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. And then the Beis Din in every generation has the right to come up with new dinim that they were never heard of in an earlier generation. And there's even a machlokes whether those dinim are only binding mikan al haba, or it's a gloy milson of my friend that all those dinim are binding from shas matan Torah. Many achrenim hold that the dinim that the bezin is macharish on later generation, they only know mikan al haba. It's not that they discovered a din, they invented a din deraisa. Sometimes they invent a din, it's only with the rabbanon, and sometimes if it's based on yugim amidas, they invent a din and becomes a din deraisa. And many hold it's only noy mikan al haba. An interesting idea. So that's what the Rambam says. I have the right to count Kiddush as one of the Taryag Mitzvah. Zohar means Lahaskir. Zohar does mean to remember the day of Sabbath, to keep it all. It means to mention the Kedusha Sayyam, to sanctify it. Zohar Sayyam Shabbos, recite the Kiddush, Lekacha, to endow Shabbos with Kedusha. Shabbos has Kedusha, Kvir Vikaimah from Shesh is made very, even if you don't recite Kiddush. But if you recite Kiddush, then you must have Kedusha, Al Kedusha, Sayyad Kedusha. Just like a b'chor is a mitzvah lahagdisha, b'chor b'ema ta'ira, is kodesh mirechem, even if the farmer doesn't say anything, it's kodesh, but there's a mitzvah, there's a machlokes hatanaim, we pass like the Tana, is a mitzvah lahagdisha. It's a mitzvah on the farmer who owns this animal that gave birth to the b'chor. He should declare, I hereby endow the b'chor with kedusha. And the Gemara said the kedusha is not just a statement, it has kedusha. The statement, I'm endowing it with kedusha. It has Kedusha B'dei Shomayim when it's Kodesh Meirechem when it's born. And then it gets Kedusha B'dei Odom. The Gemara says in my Nafkamina that it's Hatfasa B'dova HaNodur. When you take a neder, you say, I'm supposed to lose weight. So the doctor tells me I better stop eating cookies. So I'm not going to stop. So I take a neder, I'm not going to eat any cookies. The cookies should be like a carbon. So that's called Hatfasa B'dova HaNodur. But if you say the cookies should be like Chazer, a cookie should be like basa b'chalav. That's davar ha'aser. Hatfasa b'davar ha'aser is no good. So the Gemara says b'chor mitzvah lahagdishai makes it that a b'chor is called a davar ha'nodur. So they say these cookies should be like a b'chor behemah Torah. I say it should be like a b'chor b'hemetar in abstract. So b'chor b'hemetar is in abstract is a davar ha'osur. But if I say the cookie should be like this piece of flesh, and this piece of flesh is a korban b'chor la'achas rikas adam. So then the hakdosha was chal. Hakdosha, the farmer should declare the hakdosha before you do the shechita. But the kedusha is only chal. That's what it's in the Rambam. Kedusha is only chal after you zorik the dam of the b'chor. So just like a b'chor is a mitzvah like this, the b'chor is going to be kodesh anyway, kodesh meirechem. But it's a mitzvah for the farmer, the owner of the behemah, to create an additional level of kedusha b'dei adam. So the same is true on Shabbos, the Ramban says. Zochas Yom Shabbos, the Ramban on Chumash writes. Zochas Yom Shabbos, likacho means to endow the day with an additional level of kedusha, kedusha b'dei adam. And he compares it to b'kedashin v'shnas ha'chamishim shana. That the Bezin should declare Shana Zilmu Kodeshes B'Kedushas HaYoyvel. And if the Bezin doesn't declare, it doesn't have Kedushas HaYoyvel. Now Shabbos also, Shabbos will have Kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed all the Shabbosim in Sheshes Meibe, he endowed by Rechal Kem HaShem Shabbos HaYoyvel, is B'Kadosh all the Shabbosim. It will have Kedusha, but it won't have the additional Kedusha B'Di Odom unless you recite the Kiddush. So the Chachamim in different generations, sometimes they required Kiddush Alayayin, sometimes they required Kiddush Betfila. At the end of the day, they made a takana. You should recite Kiddush Betfila, and then you should repeat again and say Kiddush Alayayin. So I thought that's what this line meant in Mishilo. Mishilo Lomer, Meruch Alayim, Chakach Malayim. Shayayin Gorm Lekedush Shetei Omer. I already said Kiddush in davening and Meirev. Normally, you daven Meirev before you make Kiddush. So I already said Kiddush in Marv, some Yotze the din there writes the Kiddush B'dvorim. The Rambam writes that Kiddush Alayayin is only the Rabbanan. The Baalei HaTosfos have different opinions because the Gemara says in the last Perek Himsach, the Gemara says Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekacho Zachreyu Alayayin. So many Baalei HaTosfos held that that's a din there writes it. Kiddush Alayayin is the writes it. So the Morgan Avraham says we don't pass like that. We pass like the Rambam. The Kiddush B'dvorim is the writes it. Alayayin is only the Rabbanan. That's not their writes it. So I already said Kiddush between I was Yotze, but I want to say Kiddush again, Halayayin. So Bisila Loimerin, Shehayayin Gorm LeKedusha Sheti Omer. Because I have wine, because I'm drinking wine, that's why I'm obligated with the Rabbanan to say Kiddush a second time. So it's like having two mitzvahs, and one causes the other one. The Beis Shammai argued the reverse. Sayom gorim liayin sheyavoy. The only reason why I'm drinking wine is because I want to say Kiddush. So since the bracha of Kiddush is gorim for me to drink the wine, so the mitzvah that's gorim, the other mitzvah, reciting Bar Piagofen, is what causes me to recite Kiddush alayayim. So therefore, what do they say? Nachamon. The bracha on Kiddush is what's gorim me to drink the wine. Otherwise, I wouldn't be interested in drinking wine. So therefore, the Kiddush should be recited before the Bar Piagof. And they still take the same klal, but they apply it in the opposite direction. Shehayayin gorim lekedusha shatei omer. If he wouldn't have had the wine, he would have been yotze Kiddush betfila, wouldn't have said Kiddush alayayin. But because he has the wine, that's why he's gorim to have an obligation with the Rabban to recite Kiddush the second time. You have to say Kiddush betfila, and then you have to say Kiddush alayayin. So since one mitzvah was gorim the other one, both Bisham and Bisil are using the same klal. If you have two mitzvahs, one is gorim, the other one, so one that's gorim, the other one should be fulfilled first, and the one that's nigram, the mitzvah that's schlepping noch, the other one should come second. They both use the same klal. But what's the first klal that Bisil said? Bisil alam, mevorach alayayin, vachkarach mevorach alayayin, shehayayin, again, or that, I thought that's the pshat. The wine is what makes him mechuyev to say Kiddush a second time. If he doesn't have any wine, he'll be yotze with the Kiddush betfila that he said. If he has wine, so the wine is gorim that he has to say Kiddush a second time. So some gaonim and rishonim understood that line differently. Rabbi Soloveitchik said it. I heard it many years ago. I thought it was a pshat, but I didn't like it. And then recently, somebody in Florida gave me this new Haggadah from the Kozhek Lover. So he quotes that Rishonim and Goyanim say this pshat. The first argument of Bisila was Shehayayin Gorim LeKedusha Shetei Omer. You can't say Kiddush on trefa wine. It has to be kosher wine. Rav Soloveitchik used to give mishalim a lot. He said his grandfather, Rav Chaim, used to make up very strong mishalim, exaggerated mishalim, where everyone would agree to what the din is in that mashal. And then he would explain a din that's not so obvious based on his exaggerated mishalim. Rav Soloveitchik would sometimes say over some of the mishalim. One of his kooky mishalim was a woman cuts off her arm and the husband puts together an awesome biyoda. Then she attaches the arm to her, she attaches a hand to her arm. Would it be good or not? Wild mishalim. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a mashal over here. Let's say someone has a bottle of wine that's tevel. He was mafish shum as a maisa. So he's going to say kiddush. He's going to say perbav. He's going to say kiddush. He doesn't want to violate tevel. So before he drinks the wine, he's mafish shum as a maisa. So would he be yotze kiddush aliyan? So he thought he's not. It's treif for wine. Can't be yotze with treif for wine. So he said, all wine in the world is treif until you say a bracha. Also lahanis mer ala mazeh b'lay bracha. So he thought, and that's what apparently goyinim and rishayinim learn like that. They still don't argue. Shahayayin gorm l'kedusha shatirama. The bar piagofen, the reciting of bar piagofen, is what enables you to use the wine until you recite the bracha. It's treif. L'ashem ha'aretz m'lay tevel yeshiva. It's treif. It's treif for wine, like saying kiddush on tevel wine. That's what we raised an issue. Is that the way we paskin? If we assume that an oinen doesn't recite any ruba de ruba of the rishon, 99% of the rishon hold that an oinen does not say birchas anenin. Not allowed to say birchas anenin. Just the kolbo says it's an iser. The oinen mishemes muta lefanav is not allowed to do any mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to do averus. So the kolbo was one of the late balei hatesis. He writes that the oinen has to recite birchas anenin because otherwise he'll be in violation of an iser. Also, the Hanus Madal Mazet, but the overwhelming majority of the Paschim don't hold like that. In Shulchan Aruch, in the Big Shulchan, they don't even quote the Kolbo. He doesn't even have honorable mention at all. Others won't quote the Kolbo. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote it. So the Pashtus, we said yesterday, Pashtus is that it's not an Issa, it's just a mitzvah to recite the Birchus on them. But that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought was the first argument. So if you say like that, if you should say like that, the first reason of this Hillel, why you say Bar Piagofen before Kiddush, and before Havdalah, and before everything, because Kozma, you didn't say Brach, it's tray for wine. So you're not yet say Brach ala Kos with tray for wine. So we say like that, then the question is, on Pesach night, does it really make sense to say Bar Piagofen four times? Kiddush, you have to say Bar Piagofen. The next bracha, Asher Gualon, Gual Yisrael, the Minik Svart is, Mechaber writes that they don't say Bar Piagofen on the second cup. The third cup, you have to say Bar Piagofen because that's Birchas HaMazon. So Birchas HaMazon is a declaration of Hesach Hadas. So you have to say a Bar Piagofen then. But the fourth cup, there's no Hesach Hadas. So why do you, so the Svartim don't say Bar Piagofen on the second course and on the fourth course. The Ashkenazim do. The Ashkenazim do. So how come the Ashkenazim say four times Bar Piagofen, the second and the fourth cups should be covered with the Bar Piagofen of the first cup and the third cup? So there are two explanations that the Rishonim give. So some Rishonim say that there is a Hesach Hadas, that since you're reciting Halal in between the third kais and the fourth kais, and you're saying a whole Sipit Sipit time in between the Kiddush and the second kais, there is a Hesach Hadas, and you have to say another bracha. The Pashtas, what kind of Hesach Hadas? I have the Haggadah on the table. I know there are four cups of wine. Why is that a Hesach Hadas? So the Balei HaTesis give a different Hesber. It's a din. A bracha lakos, you have to say Bar Piagofen. Even on mitam birchas anenin, it's not really necessary. That's the din. A bracha lakos, you have to say Bar Piagofen, even though it's not needed mitam birchas anenin. So if you say it like that, it's not really needed mitam birchas anenin. And the whole reason, the main reason why Bissell insists that the Bar Piagofen should be recited first, it shouldn't be tray for wine. But here by the second and the fourth case, it's not tray for wine. The Sfardim are right. The Bar Piagofen on the first case covers the second case. Bar Piagofen on the third case really covers the fourth. But the Ashkenazim say Bar Piagofen anyway, because they have this shita. It's questionable whether it's correct or not. She said that every time you have a bracha lakos, you have to say bar piagofen, even though it's not really needed mitam birchas anenin. So it's not needed mitam birchas anenin, So the whole first reason why Bar Pei HaGafen comes first is that it shouldn't be tray for wine. Doesn't apply. So that would explain why the practice is that you say Bar Pei HaGafen after Asher Gilalanu and after Birchas Hashir. So we raise an issue, what about under the chuppah, when people get married? So they say Bar Pei HaGafen under Koshal Erisin. Then they say 2 minutes later, they say Bar Pei HaGafen under Koshal Nisuin. It's not, they just said a bracha, but they're saying another bracha now. So Rabbi Natam softened it a little bit. Rabbi Natam introduced Agos Maimini on the bottom of the Rambam. Agos Maimini has nothing to do with the Rambam. Agos Maimini just tells you what is the Shitas, Rashi, and Taisus on all the topics that the Rambam talks about. He never talks about the Rambam. He tells you what Taisus has to say. Agos Maimini is the Talmud of the Maharam Ritmer, the end of the Tkufas Balei Taisus. So the Agos Maimini quotes that the Rabbi Natam introduced, the Rabbi Natam, I think, and his father, introduced Kriyas HaKsuba in between the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin. Why? Because for many centuries, from many, many centuries, the practice would be that they did Erisin now, Kiddushin now, then they would wait a year and a Wednesday, Ayon HaMitzvah, till they would do Nisuin a year later, a couple of months later. And in the days of the Gainim, they decided that that's not a safe practice. The girl is an Eshesish. She's not living with her husband. What's going to be if she's going to have an affair with somebody else? She'll become a Saita Asur al-Bail. So the Gainim made a takona. You shouldn't allow a couple to have Erisin unless they're prepared to do Nisuin right away. But in the days of the Tanakh, until the days of the Gainim, there was always a long pause in between Erisin and Nisuin. So to preserve that practice, that you have a period of time, they used to have months, weeks, months of a hafsak between the Eris and the Sun. So Rabbi Natan wanted to preserve a little bit. So made a takana, they should read the ksuba. Why did he insist they should read the ksuba? Because you have to give the ksuba over to the girl. Some of the Rishonim say, you have to give the ksuba to the girl before you do the Nisuin. Why do you have to give it to the kala before? Because there's a Gemara has a shayla. If the chassan does, let's say the kala was in the days of the Gemara, that there was a long pause between Erisin and Nisuin. So let's say it's a year later, and the chassan wants to be machnas lechupa, and the girl has to go to mikveh. She didn't go to mikveh yet. And she has to wait shiva yomim. She can't go to mikveh whenever she wants. Yeah, so you have to wait a while sometimes. The Gemara has a shayla. According to the Rambam, that's the Gemara Shaila. Chupish and Ruya Labir is it kind or not? The other Rishonim learned the Gemara is talking about a totally different topic, nothing to do, living or dead with this. Shaila. Tosefes Ksuba, a whole different story. But the Rambam learned the Gemara's topic was if you're machnes lechupa and the girl is a nida, she didn't go to mikveh, is the chupa kaina if it's chupish and Ruya Labir? So the Rambam writes, L'chatchila, you should avoid it. You shouldn't get married if it's chuppish and roi labia. Maybe a bracha levatola. But if he said the bracha is under the chuppah, b'di'eved, it's in the bayit lev shita. So we say, sofik brachas l'hokel. So you shouldn't repeat the brachas later. That's how the Rambam writes. So, in addition to the Rambam, one of the Balei HaTosfos also learns like that. The Gemara Shaila was chuppish and roi labia. In the case in the Gemara, the girl was pirsa nida, so that's chupish and roi labia on the level of the raisa, because she didn't go to mikveh. On the level of the rabbanon, if you didn't, the chosin didn't give the girl a ksuba, you're not allowed to live with your wife. That's how the Gemara says, Rameir made exera the rabbanon. You're not allowed to live, also lad mahashas his ishtai, not allowed to live with his wife if she doesn't have a document of the ksuba. Truth of the matter is, she doesn't have to feel nervous. She may be afraid. The husband will dump her, and he won't pay her ksuba. So if she has the document of the ksuba, she knows that she doesn't have to give in to every mishagas of her husband, because he can't just get rid of her, he has to pay her a fortune money for the ksuba. So strictly speaking, he has to pay, whether she has the ksuba, she doesn't have the ksuba, it doesn't make a difference. But the women may not all know that, so they may feel they better listen to the husband, any mishagas he says, because he can always divorce her, and she won't get any, there's nothing to serve as a deterrent. He doesn't have to pay any ksuba if he divorces her, if she doesn't have the ksuba. That's not really correct, but that's a takana. Alpidin is not correct. So Rav Meir was afraid the women may not know that din. And they may always give in to every mishagas that the husband has. And they don't want the women to give in. The women should be, they should have an independent opinion on everything. So that's what, when one of the Rishonim writes, if the chosin didn't give the ksuba to the kala before they had the chuppet, so chuppet shenim really be on the level of the rabbanon. Also, a lot of mahasha sisishta, shuachas baloi ksuba. I remember I was married for a few years and then my wife couldn't find her ksuba. So we can't live together if you don't have a ksuba. So yes, so you write a ksuba there, because so you're not allowed to write two shtaris on the same amount of money because the person may collect twice. But here he can't live with his wife if she doesn't have a ksuba. So you have to write, I married my wife a few years ago and at that time I gave her a ksuba and she says she can't find the ksuba. Maybe it's not true that she can't find it. So I have no choice. I have to write another ksuba. But I'm only writing it. I don't want it to collect twice. So you should. So whoever reads the ksuba should know it's only to write the same amount that is said in the first ksuba. I don't want to give it twice ksuba. So I remember. So some of the achronim came up with a chiddush that when you write ksuba the irkaso, you should have a bezin of three. Shouldn't just be when you fill out a ksuba, you normally have two edim on the bottom of the ksuba. You don't need a bezin. And there's a taisvis in the end of Baba Basra where they talk about this ksuba there, because the taisvis says maybe it's based on hefker bezin hefker that it creates a shiba nechosim all the way back from the time that he got married. How can you make a ksuba today to create shiba nechosim retroactively? The taisvis says maybe you need a bezin because it's a hefker bezin hefker. So if you need a bezin, you need three people. So that's the chumrah. That's the chumrah that they have. To have a bezin of three. So remember, we asked three people to live, three religious people live in our building, and they filled out the ksuba the irkas, so we gave it to my wife. So at that time, we had two daughters. So one of them was a Hungarian learned fellow. He learned in Satmar before the war. He learned by the Satmar Rebbe before the Second World War. So he said, this time you should have a boy. That was his blessing. Then we had a boy. Then my wife found the ksuba. She had it in a dresser. She had it under the underwear, or whatever. So we had to rip up the nuksuba. You're not supposed to have a person have two shtoris. He may collect twice. So we had to make a karabezna on the nuksuba.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Does a couple have to take a ksuba with them when they go on vacation or something?
No. If the woman knows where it is, a lot of women think they have to take it with them. Nah, that's ridiculous. Ramosha finds she can leave the ksuba by her parents if she wants to. She trusts her parents. Ramosha finds has a tshuva. What if she trusts her husband? Can she leave the ksuba by the husband? But the whole need for the ksuba is if there'll be a fight between the husband and the wife. So then what do you mean she trusts her husband? If there's going to be a fight, so he's not going to give her the ksuba. So Ramosha writes, interesting kula. Ramosha writes, if she trusts her husband that he's such an honest person, even if there'll be a fight between them, he'll give her back her ksuba, so then it's good. Then the husband is holding for the wife. Even though the husband is the Baal Din Shekeneged, the ksuba gives her a raya that she can collect from the husband. So one would have thought that Tfisa's Baal Ashtar has to be by someone else other than the husband. So Moshe is Mekel. If she trusts the husband that he's an honest person, then it's good. But when they go on vacation, she doesn't have to take it along. She knows where it is. It's good enough. There's another klal. If you're about to do two mitzvahs, one mitzvah is going to be bishlei musa, one mitzvah is going to be shalom bishlei musa. So first you do the mitzvah that's bishlei musa. Where do we see that? So we saw there's a rivet on the bottom of the riff. In Arve Psochim, who brings the raya from the din of Tashlumen. That's the beginning, the first daf in Perek Tefillos HaShachar. If the person forgot to daven Ma'ariv, and then he wants to daven Shacharis twice, so the first one should be Tefillah Bizmana, and the second one should be the Tashlumen for the Tefillah that he missed. Why in that order? And the Gemara says it's Ma'akev. So why it's Ma'akev is problematic. But why does it have to be in that order? So the Rabbi says, I'll tell you why. Because the tefillah bismana is mitzvah bishleim musa. Tefillah shleim bismana. Gemara says nee, this schar tefillah yabinale, schar tefillah bismana lo yabinale. It's a mitzvah shalom bishleim musa. So if you have two mitzvahs to fulfill, one is bishleim musa, one is shalom bishleim musa. First you do the mitzvah bishleim musa. That's another klal. You have torah b'shein and torah koydim is one klal. Mekudesh v'ene mekudesh koydim is another klal. And the mitzvah that you became mechuyev to do first, that's a third klal. And the mitzvah that's more bishleim musa is a fourth klal, another klal. So that's a shot. Let's say a moel has a lot of moelim. They do 10 brisin in one day. So let's say some of the brisin are mila bismana, some are mila shalai bismana. So the classical psak hamkubal always was you do the mila bismana first. That's the mitzvah bishleim musa. Then you do the mila bismana, shalai bismana. Second, you do it second. So the Dvar Avram was the last rabbi in Kovna. He died in the middle of the war in the Kovna ghetto. The health conditions were so bad, many people died from contagious disease and they caught from each other. It was terrible. Anyway, but he died. The Nazis would have killed him. They killed everybody else. He had a son who lived in America. The son tried to get his father out of Europe. He couldn't. He didn't succeed. So the Rav Ram, in the first volume, he learned in Volozhin. He was related to the Beis HaRav. He was a descendant from Rav Chaim Volozhin. And he was related to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And he has the new style of tshuvas. He quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik every so often. New style of tshuvas that you analyze a dinim and you come up with a new psak. Not just medama milsa la milsa. You try to analyze a dinim. So he has a tshuva that he thinks that if you have two brisna, a milu bizman and milu shaloi bizmano, if you have a milu shaloi bizmano, so there's room to argue the point that the father is over on bitl mitzvahs milu kol rega verega. He shouldn't postpone. Let's say you have a baby, didn't have a bris because there was a medical condition. So sometimes the halacha says you have to wait a full week after the doctors say the baby is healthy. If it's kreba kol gufoi, you have to wait a whole week. Let's say on a Tuesday afternoon, the doctors say the baby is healthy enough, so you have to wait to do the bris till next Tuesday afternoon. And sometimes you don't have to wait a week. The Gemara says it depends. You have to consult a doctor. Is it chayla kol aguf or only chayla the mikta seivar min aguf? So some are of the opinion that if you're doing a milu shloi bizmano and you're going to postpone it, there used to be a practice. People used to fast on Tainas Bechoyrin, on Erev Pesach. Now nobody fasts. Everybody, they figured out, make a siyum, and nobody fasts. But years ago, they used to fast. So the Nodi Yehuda writes, in his day, during his time, they didn't figure out yet to make a siyum and sichta. So they always used to have a bris. They always had a bris, and everybody ate that bris. Who says there's always, if you live in New York City, there are millions of Jews here, there's always going to be a bris on Erev Pesach. But if you don't live in New York, Nodi Yehuda, the city was not that big. He lived in Prague. The Jewish community in Prague was not so big. He couldn't always secure that there's going to be a bris on Erev Pesach. So whenever there would be a milah where the baby wasn't well, they had to postpone it a month before on Purim, they would postpone it till Erev Pesach. So they always knew for sure there's going to be a bris on Erev Pesach. So Nodi Yehuda has a very short tshuva, just one paragraph. Usually the tshuvas are much bigger than one paragraph. He writes a brief paragraph. He's not sure whether it's right. Number one, he's not sure whether he's permitted to postpone unnecessarily longer than is needed. He's maybe he's supposed to do the bris right away if you're going to postpone till tomorrow. Maybe that's a bit la mitzvah. Maybe you have to do the bris as soon as possible. And I feel in Tim Salema that there's no problem. He says, who says that that's a Sudas Mitzvah? Maybe a Sudas Mitzvah that allows the Bechorim to eat is only if it's a Mila Bismana. Maybe if it's a Mila Shla Bismana. Maybe that's not sufficient Sudas Mitzvah to be matter everybody to eat. So he thinks that it's not right. Here in the neighborhood, Rabbi Breuer, years ago, people went to work all week long. Sunday, they didn't go to work. So everybody wanted to have a bris on Sunday. So sometimes, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is sure about this, sometimes the woman would go to the doctor and they ask him, please induce the baby on Sunday. So I'll have a bris next Sunday, so everybody will be able to come. If you have a bris in the middle of the week, a lot of people can't come. The Moshe Feinstein says it's not proper to induce labor unless it's medically recommended. You shouldn't induce labor because you want to have a bris on Sunday. He says, whenever the woman gives birth, that's a sakona, and you're not allowed to put yourself into a sakona unnecessarily. Same thing a lot of times, let's say, the doctor wants to go on vacation. So he's going to induce labor because he wants to deliver the baby before he doesn't want to be disturbed on his vacation. That's not right. Rav Moshe thinks that's not right. It's not right to induce labor unless it's medically recommended. That's what Moshe is chiddush, because you're putting yourself into a sakana. So here in the neighborhood, whenever there would be a milah shaloi bizmano, Rabbi Breuer would never allow them to have it on a Sunday, even if that's when it was supposed to be. If you have a milah bizmano on Sunday, say do it. But if it's a milah shaloi bizmano, he would never permit them to do it on Sunday because everybody's going to postpone it. And for their purposes, he didn't allow. He would make you have the bris on Monday. Wouldn't allow them to have a milah shaloi bizmano on Sunday. So the Dvaram came up with this chiddush that if you have two brisin on the same day, milu b'zman, milu shaloi b'zman, you should do the milu shaloi b'zmana first. Why? Because the milu shaloi b'zmana may be a roiver b'chol rega. Maybe to postpone the bris till an hour later when you do the other bris first. Maybe postponing just for an hour is also a bit la mitzvah. On the Yom HaShmini, the Gemara says in the beginning of Pesachim, that's only Zriz Magdim. So if you do it later in the afternoon, that's only a violation of Zriz Magdim. That's not called Bitla Mitzvah. But after you pass the eighth day, that's when Zodi says, maybe Yoiva B'chol Rega, maybe Yoiva B'chol Yoim. So that's what the Dvar Avram came up with that Chirush. And the second Chelik of the Dvar Avram, he has a lot of tshuvas that to defend Psokim that he wrote in the first Chelik, that they disagreed with him. He has a few tshuvas to defend this. And they quote from the Chazan Ish that even though the Dvar Avram had a good taina, but it wasn't accepted. It wasn't accepted. The minhag still is, like the old psak, that you do the milu bizmana first, because that's a mitzvah b'shlemusa, as opposed to the milu shlo bizmana, which is a mitzvah shlo b'shlemusa. Yeah, but all of these klolim, todah b'sheinah todah, mekudesh v'einah mekudesh, what's goyrim, what's the mechayiv, what chiv came first, all of these are just lechatchila. It's not miyakeh b'niyevet. Here the Gemara says in the first daf in Tfilas HaShachar, this miyakeh b'niyevet. If he didn't daven mincha on Shabbos afternoon, he fell asleep and he slept through mincha. So if he didn't daven mincha, he has to daven ma'ariv twice. So the Gemara says, if he says atochan antonu in the second Shmoneh Esrei, and he doesn't say in the first, he's demonstrating that he had in mind the first for tashlumen and the second one for Ma'ariv. So then he has to daven the Shmoneh Esrei a third time. But this is Ma'akeh B'Niyevet. So the Ravid explanation, because the Tefillah B'Zmana is a mitzvah B'Shleimusa, and Tefillah Shleim B'Zmana Tashlum Mitzvah Shleim B'Shleimusa, that explains why L'Chatchili should have it in that order. It doesn't explain why it's Ma'akeh B'Niyevet. That's questionable. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole fantastic suggestion. Okay, maybe we'll continue tomorrow, Bilinera. Okay.